Okay.
I'll bring it on my phone too, just in case.
Hello. Hi, I'm Jade Fitzgerald from Coleman, Alabama. If you guys know where that is, we're the Old Main Sisters. Some of y'all know. And my husband and I are leaders at our church. So if you read my introduction, I'm going to read it again to you just in case you didn't. My title is What, When, Why, How, and Now. As a young person, you have many questions while trying to find God's plan for your life. Whether it's wondering what exactly your calling is or when your time will be. By the conclusion of our conversation, I hope to provide information from my testimony that will bring answers to these questions and empower you to become what God has called you to be now. The first question I remember asking about God's plan for my life is, what is thy will? You may be asking something along those lines as well. What is my calling? What do you want me to become in your kingdom? And what is my place in my church? So, I received the Holy Ghost when I was 5 years old at my house. I have an aunt. She's still alive today, thank the Lord. But she was very, very sick with a form of leukemia. It wasn't exactly leukemia, but it was compared to leukemia. Her doctors gave her a 5% chance of living. So we prayed for her every single night. And I'm thankful that my mom created that atmosphere and that routine of we're going to pray every night. We're going to say our night-night prayers is what we called them. And I remember sitting in that little house in Eva, sitting on the bottom bunk with my mom. We were praying for my Aunt Winnell. God, heal her body in Jesus' name. And I spoke in tongues for the very first time that night, saying my night-night prayers. And not everybody has a little sister that can tell you exactly what you said, but if I can find a linguist one day, I'm going to go and ask them, what is the word akadia? Because my little sister said that I was saying akadia, akadia, when I received the Holy Ghost. So, I'm going to find a linguist one day that can tell me that. So, I was thankful that my mom was able to create that atmosphere for me to get the Holy Ghost. A few short years later, I really need that Holy Ghost to help me because when I was 8, I went to my first junior camp, and I had the time of my life, but little did I know that when I got home, my whole world was going to fall apart. My dad had chosen to not be faithful to my mom or Rubin, and that led to them getting a divorce. So this guy that I thought was a good dad, and he was a good dad, and my mom would say, he was a great dad, he loved you girls, became a person that I didn't know. And people would say, this is what he's doing, this is what he's doing, and I'm like, well, I've never seen it. Well, the things I never saw, I was starting to see. The only thing that got me through all this time, when my whole world was crumbling, there was only one thing that wasn't crumbling. Can you guess what it was?
My church.
So my mom, she quit going to church. She backslid after that because she blamed God that how could he allow that to happen to me? I was faithful. I brought my daughters to church. I served God's kingdom. I took kids to church camp. I was a room mom. You know, I did all these things and he still let that happen to me. Which none of that is God's fault. God doesn't make you go in a certain way. God didn't make my mom marry my dad. She chose to marry him. God didn't make my dad do that to my mom. He chose to do that. So she was turning away from the Lord and chose to backslide and blame the Lord for all of her issues. And it was not God's fault. It's not God's fault that that happened. But in all that falling apart, the church was what did not crumble for me. I had a pastor's wife ask me once, so your mom's not in church? And it's like, no. She said, your dad's not in church? And it's like, no. I mean, your sister's not in church? And I'm like, no. She was like, well, what is it? Why did you stay in church? And it's like, well, what I just told you guys, my whole world, as I knew it, was crumbling. My mom was becoming something I didn't recognize. My dad was somebody I did not know. My sisters were giving in to peer pressure and the things of the world. But I had faithful grandparents who would come every single Sunday and pick me up. When I was 16, my friend started bus ministry, and so when the kids would come, I would like to tell them, hey, guess what? I was a bus kid too. By my grandparents. But when my grandparents didn't do it, I had other people in our church that would pick me up, and they were faithful to me. My pastor didn't change. My Sunday school teachers, they didn't change. They were still preaching the same message, even though my family's message had changed. At the young age of 8 or 9, I had a seizure, and the only thing the paramedics could come up with was that it was stress-induced. So that was how stressed I was as a small child. That also led to a whole year of headaches. So in third grade, I had a bottle of Tylenol that I could go tell my teacher I needed. And she would, and I remember that teacher was not. She would hold me in her lap and hug me and like, you're gonna be okay. And I went to a public school, so I was thankful that she did that for me. Throughout the years that followed, I continued going to church with my faithful grandparents, and I continued to grow in my walk with God. I had really good friends who had really good parents, and they would bring me in and let me stay the weekends with them. And through my good friends and their good parents, I was able to see what a healthy marriage and what a godly marriage and like good parents and how they speak to their kids and how they encourage their kids. And I remember my one friend invited me to the prayer room with her. My grandparents were older, so they stayed in the sanctuary to pray, but she's like, hey, come to the prayer room with me. Well, I was 8 when my mom stopped going to church. Now, I'm sure she went to prayer room, but I didn't remember it very much. But I remember my friend invited me, and I remember we had some hot prayer meetings in that little U-shaped prayer room in the old green church in Eva. We had an on-fire church. We had an on-fire youth group. Anytime the preacher was preaching, our youth group was in the altar, worshiping and praising the Lord and preaching the preacher. Then we also had Bible quizzing. So I became a Bible quizzer at 8 and 9, or maybe it was 10 and 11. I was a junior Bible quizzer. And my now sister-in-law, she wasn't then, but she was my first quiz coach. And then I moved into senior quizzing, and my mother-in-law, who is my mother-in-law now, but not then because I was too young, she was my senior quiz coach. They took me places. They loved on me. They encouraged me. And they became my family. Like, I would say that our assistant coach, I was at her house all the time. I'm like, she knew me better than my mom knew me because I was with her so much. Some verses that will help you tremendously in finding your what are Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Jeremiah 29:11-12 says, for I know the thoughts I think toward you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search me with all your heart. When you seek him, he will reveal himself to you. He will reveal what it is that you're supposed to do. My what, as a young person, became, I'm going to be at church. I'm going to be available. I'm going to be available to my pastor's wife. I'm going to be available to my youth leaders. I'm going to be available to our music team. I'm going to be available to Sunday school. And I was. I was in every part that I could possibly get myself busy in. I became whatever they needed me to be. Can your walk change? Yeah. There are seasons in our walk with God, but one thing is certain. You are called to the King to have a relationship. You're called by the King to have a relationship with him and serve him with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength. In order to understand or to know your what, you must pray and seek after God continually. The next question I encountered in my walk with the King is, when? Okay, Lord, I'm doing all these things for your kingdom. Now, when will I step into my calling? Lord, when will it come to pass? When will my ministry begin? When will I become what you call me to become? So I went to a public school, even though our church school started when I was in 10th grade. My mom went and paid for me to go to church school, so I continued to go to public school. And I had gone there my whole life, so they were very kind to me and respectful. But my high school math teacher, she said, I'm not grading you on English. I'm not an English teacher. This is just a grade that you do it. She required us to interview somebody in the field that we thought we were interested in. So I've always loved children. I was involved with kids at my church. I was a babysitter. And I thought, well, maybe I'll do education. And then I thought, well, I've got math too, and math accountants make more money than teachers, so maybe I'll be an accountant. Well, I have an uncle that's an accountant, and I called and I interviewed him, and I said, hey, I'm thinking I'll be an accountant, and my teacher wants me to do something. And he said, Jade, you're going to do great at whatever you decide to do, because that's your personality. That's the kind of person you are, is that you're going to take whatever job you have, and you're going to do it well. He said, but if you feel like you want to be a wife and a mother and have a family one day, I would not advise you to be an accountant. He said, I work long hours. He said, there was a time that your aunt thought that I wasn't being faithful to her because I would wake up at 4 and go into the office and would not come home till midnight, then wake up and do it all again the next day. And he said, it wasn't until she started working with me that she realized you really were working all those long hours. So that made me go back and think, okay, Lord, if I want to be available to your kingdom, if I want to do what you call me to do and be what you call me to be, being an accountant wouldn't fit in to God's kingdom because I wouldn't be available. So I went with education because our church had a daycare, it had a church school, and I knew that if I pursued that career, that one day I could be a certified professional and help our church school grow if we ever decided to open it up to the public. The thoughts that about when that you may have may include, it will happen when I graduate, when I'm 21, or when I get married. I believe my win would happen when I graduated or when I got married. But really, I was already walking in what God had planned for my life. The win is the present, the now. To everything, there is a season and a time and a purpose under the heaven. So there will be different seasons to your win, but have faith and believe. We're reminded in Luke chapter 12, verse 31, to seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. All these things, well, when is that? Matthew 17, 21 says, howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Yeah, God was talking to his prophets about casting out demons, but when we apply that to our life, he's never brought us to something that we can't overcome. Just because I have the Holy Ghost doesn't mean that I can't overcome it. Be having the Holy Ghost means that I can overcome it. Do you all have the Holy Ghost in here? Well, no matter what comes your way, no matter what it is, I'm going to tell you some things in a minute, and you're going to think, wow, that is hard to overcome. But it was only by the grace of God, and because I have the Holy Ghost, that I overcame those things. God will direct you when you are seeking him and when you are praying and fasting. He will answer when you seek him. While pursuing my win, I encountered my next two questions. Why did this happen, and how will I overcome this? So as I said before, when I was 8, my parents divorced, and my dad chose a life of drugs, which he had done them when he was still with my mom, but it wasn't as bad. And he pursued this life hard, and he pursued women like that hard, and one time he lost custody of us. He couldn't see us anymore unsupervised because he had done bad things while we were visiting him. And so he moved in with my great-grandma, and my grandma was a good old Baptist lady, and she said, she's not living here because you're not married. So she's not welcome to stay the night and live here. So that lady moved out. Well, she was gone for a while, and my dad decided to pursue after her. He pursued this crazy person that could hardly carry on a conversation because she was so out of her mind. Instead of staying with his daughters, like, he chose that over me, that person that was supposed to protect me and love me no matter what. He chose her. So that started my long process of not talking to my dad. Was I right by that? Absolutely not. We are instructed to forgive 70 times 70. And I was not forgiving my dad. So I had to work on that, and I did, and we'll get to that in a minute. But I also think that was probably a part of God's plan for my life to help me navigate my teenage life. That I didn't worry about him because he was non-existent in my mind. He would call, and I'd be like, I'm not here. I don't want to talk to him. I don't want to hear what he has to say. So also during that process, my mom dated several men, and I told my husband, and I'm like, God was so faithful to me. I received the Holy Ghost at 5, and he kept me. He protected me. There were so many times that somebody could have taken advantage of my sisters and myself. But God protected us. God was faithful. My mom did remarry when I was 12, and he was a good person, but he was never that father figure that a girl wants. I mean, he provided our needs. I had a car. I went to college, and he paid for it. When I offered to pay him back, he said, just save it for a rainy day. You're going to need it one day, and I don't need it, so you can keep it. And I was like, well, thank you. But he took us on vacations. Like, we had a cushy lifestyle with him, but he didn't serve the Lord, and neither did my mom. So they didn't quite understand or choose to understand everything that I chose to stand for. When I was around 18, 19, my pop, which is my dad's dad, he had cancer, and he thought, I'm not going to make it through this. And so he paid for my dad's debts. My dad had been sent off to North Carolina because he was caught with some bad things in his car. And he was given a choice of prison for a very, very long time, or he could go to his rehab. So he went to rehab. My pop paid all his debts, and he got to come home. Well, he decided he was going to come to church when he came home. And I remember Sister Will Banks took me, and she said, Jade, you can't go to heaven without forgiving your dad. So she walked me through the aisles. We're at our new church, and she's like, praise him. So I prayed him. My dad spoke in tongues. I spoke in tongues. And I told him, I don't want this if this isn't real. Like, if you aren't real and you're going to go back to that, I don't want it. And he's like, I don't want it. I don't want to be a part of your life. So he became a part of my life again. He's not all the way in, but I really believe that with my whole heart, it's a promise that I have from God that God's going to use him in our community. And I'm going to speak it about faith and bring God into the last week. But he's going to use him in our drug community. He has all certification for drug counseling. And I'm like, God, just get in completely in. So then I hit my 20s. And I was so hungry for God's kingdom and what God had for me. And I was in college, and I'm working at Chick-fil-A, and going to college. And I was really, really close to a couple of my family. And they fell into sin. And it hurt me so bad because we were very close. Like, she was my best friend, and I was like her little sister. And I trusted them. I trusted them. And they fell into sin, and I was affected by that in the way that they fell into sin. And so I had to go to my pastor, and I had to tell them what happened, and he believed me. He said, more that I didn't want this to be the situation that happened, he said, I didn't want it to be you. He said, but because of your testimony, you're a good girl, your testimony is sure, I can believe what you just told me. I believe you. I want you to know I believe you, and this is what has happened, and you are not wrong, you are in the right, and we're here for you no matter what. So they helped me through that situation. My pastor was so faithful, and Sister Williams were so faithful to me through that. So remember, God formed us. He knew us before we were even formed, and he knows the number of hairs on our head, and we know we have a lot, and we lose them daily. So a verse I learned in Bible quizzing was John 14:18. I learned lots of verses, but this is one that through those times with my dad and through those times with my mom and through those times with that really awful situation, I could lean on. It says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Some other verses that helped me through my why and how to overcome were 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 9. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Yes, that's right. And then Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Ladies, through everything that you go through in your life, and you're seeking him, he will be faithful. He will never forsake you or me. His word says it. He won't leave you and he won't fail. Hebrews 13:5 tells us this. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as we have, as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The times that I shared with you, I sometimes didn't know how I would make it through it. I mean, I literally laid on the floor after my 20-something situation, and I just laid there and I said, God, I'm not going anywhere! Just laid there in my pastor's last row and screamed my head off, and I was like, I'm not going anywhere. What do you want me to do? And he helped me. He would comfort me through that. So here we are now, looking back on all my life, I can see the now. Now I see the plans you had for me and why I walk the paths I had to walk. David says in Psalms 37:25, I have been young and now I'm old. I was young. I'm old now, 33. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Now I see. Not once did he forsake me. He never left me. So let me show you my now experience. My now experience is that I married to one man, and we were pure when we got married. My sisters have a different story, because they did not live for the Lord. I have two children that are beautiful. I think they're beautiful. They're smart. They're healthy. Not once have we had to stay a night in the hospital. We have a ministry. My husband has a ministry. I have a ministry. And we have ministry together in our church. I do Sunday school and kids choir and kids church. We do Bible quizzing together. We are youth leaders together. And he is a music minister. And I'm a part of his music ministry, but he helps lead with Sister Vonda Lake. We both have careers. I told that last group, not once have I ever had to miss church for my career. Not once. Because I prayed about that. Not once. Even at Chick-fil-A. I just went into them and I said, look, I have church on Tuesday nights, but I work every single Wednesday night. I have a service on Friday, but I work every single Saturday. And so I did. And they were faithful. God was faithful to not make me have to work during my church time. And in my career now, I work at a preschool in a public school system, and I never have to miss church. Never. We have a home that we don't own it all the way because we have to pay a mortgage, but it's ours. It's our home. We have vehicles. We have jobs. And we're healthy. God has helped us be healthy. God has been faithful to me in all things. So if you don't know, please know, God has called you. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. If there is a doubt in your mind, his word has been shared throughout our time together. And yes, you and you are chosen. You are royalty. You are holy. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. So when those hard times come in, you're thinking, God, why are you letting this happen? Just know, he has thoughts of peace for you and not of evil. He's going to give you an expected end. You know what else he thinks? Proverbs 3:15 says, she is more precious than rubies. You are more precious and valuable to God than rubies. You are never too young to seek God and his righteousness. If you haven't been seeking him, start. Start today. Create time in your day to seek him. He will be faithful concerning his promises. He won't leave you and he won't fail. If you are seeking what your calling is, seek him. If you are in a season of asking when is this going to happen, Lamentations 3:25 says, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Continue seeking him and believing that you are achieving God's plan. If you are walking through trials and tribulations, John 14:18 says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. He will be there, so call on Him. You may not see the reason for all the seasons right now, but there will be a day when every tear that you cry, every joy that you were blessed with, and every prayer that you prayed will be revealed to you. And you will see the righteousness of God and His faithfulness to you. I've seen it in my own life, and He keeps every promise. Now I'll leave you with this. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let go.